to see how the combination of strong and weak ties can propel a movement. Fast forward to 9 years after Rosa Parks' arrest, when hundreds of young people volunteered to expose themselves to deadly risks for the civil rights crusade. In 1964, students from across the country, many of them whites from Harvard, Yale, and other northern universities, applied for something called the Mississippi Summer Project. It was a 10-week program devoted to registering black voters in the South. The project came to be known as Freedom Summer, and many who applied were aware it would be dangerous. In the months before the program started, newspapers and magazines were filled with articles predicting violence, which proved tragically accurate when, just a week after it began, white vigilantes killed 3 volunteers outside Longdale, Mississippi. The threat of harm kept many students from participating in the Mississippi Summer Project, even after they applied. More than 1,000 applicants were accepted into Freedom Summer. But when it came time to head south in June, more than 300 of those invited to participate decided to stay home. In the 1980s, a sociologist at the University of Arizona named Doug McAdam began wondering if it was possible to figure out why some people had participated in Freedom Summer and others withdrew. He started by reading 720 of the applications students had submitted decades earlier. Each was 5 pages long. Applicants were asked about their backgrounds, why they wanted to go to Mississippi, and their experiences with voter registration. They were told to provide a list of people organizers should contact if they were arrested. There were essays, references, and for some, interviews. Applying was not a casual undertaking. McAdam's initial hypothesis was that students who ended up going to Mississippi probably had different motivations from those who stayed home, which explained the divergence in participation. To test this idea, he divided applicants into 2 groups. The first pile were people who said they wanted to go to Mississippi for self-interested motives, such as to test myself, to be where the action is, or to learn about the Southern way of life. The second group were those with other-oriented motives, such as to improve the lot of blacks, to aid in the full realization of democracy, or to demonstrate the power of nonviolence as a vehicle for social change. The self-centered, McAdam hypothesized, would be more likely to stay home once they realized the risks of Freedom Summer. The other-oriented would be more likely to get on the bus. The hypothesis was wrong. The selfish and the selfless, according to the data, showed up in equal numbers. Differences in motives did not explain any significant distinctions between participants and withdrawals, McAdam wrote. Next, McAdam compared applicants' opportunity costs. Maybe those who stayed home had husbands or girlfriends keeping them from going to Mississippi. Maybe they had graduated and had gotten jobs and couldn't swing a 2-month unpaid break. Wrong again. Being married or holding a full-time job actually enhanced the applicant's chances of going south, McAdam concluded. He had 1 hypothesis left. Each applicant was asked to list their memberships in student and political organizations and at least 10 people they wanted kept informed of their summer activities. So McAdam took these lists and used them to chart each applicant's social network. By comparing memberships in clubs, he was able to determine which applicants had friends who also applied for Freedom Summer. Once he finished, he finally had an answer as to why some students went to Mississippi and others stayed home. Because of social habits. Or more specifically, because of the power of strong and weak ties working in tandem. The students who participated in Freedom Summer were enmeshed in the types of communities where both their close friends and their casual acquaintances expected them to get on the bus. Those who withdrew were also enmeshed in communities, but of a different kind. The kind where the social pressures and habits didn't compel them to go to Mississippi. Imagine you're one of the students who applied, McAdam told me. On the day you signed up for Freedom Summer, you filled out the application with five of your closest friends, and you were all feeling really motivated. Now it's 6 months later, and departure day is almost here. All the magazines are predicting violence in Mississippi. You called your parents, and they told you to stay at home. It would be strange at that point if you weren't having second thoughts. Then you're walking across campus, and you see a bunch of people from your church group, and they say, "We're coordinating rides. When should we pick you up?" These people aren't your closest friends, but you see them at club meetings and in the dorm, and they're important within your social community. They all know you've been accepted to Freedom Summer, and that you've said you want to go. Good luck pulling out at that point. You'd lose a huge amount of social standing. Even if you're having second thoughts, there's real consequences if you withdraw. You'll lose the respect of people whose opinions matter to you. When McAdam looked at applicants with religious orientations, students who cited a Christian duty to help those in need as their motivation for applying, for instance, he found mixed levels of participation. However, among those applicants who mentioned a religious orientation and belonged to a religious organization, McAdam found that every single one made the trip to Mississippi. Once their communities knew they had been accepted into Freedom Summer, it was impossible for them to withdraw. On the other hand, consider the social networks of applicants who were accepted into the program but didn't go to Mississippi. They too were involved in campus organizations. They too belonged to clubs and cared about their standing within those communities. But the organizations they belonged to, the newspaper and student government, academic groups and fraternities, had different expectations. Within those communities, someone could withdraw from Freedom Summer and suffer little or no decline in the prevailing social hierarchy. When faced with the prospect of getting arrested, or worse, in Mississippi, most students probably had second thoughts. However, some were embedded in communities where social habits, the expectations of their friends and the peer pressure of their acquaintances, compelled participation. So regardless of their hesitations, they bought a bus ticket. Others, who also cared about civil rights, belonged to communities where the social habits pointed in a slightly different direction. So they thought to themselves, "Maybe I'll just stay home."